I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with two of the tools today. And shout out B. Lumberg, coach. He will be back next week.
Maybe.
No, don't say that. He'll be back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nate must know something we don't know.
You hear nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Dark Wizard making dark predictions.
I mean, and
then
dark.
We got the Black of the Berry.
Sweet of the juice, baby.
CSPN McLaughlin.
What do you do, baby? Live and in color.
Hey, that's good. I like that. Thank you. Hey, guys, guess what? It's the first week of Monday Night Football. And the games are all in. It's all done. It's all said and done. And we are going to go over each and every one. But before that, we got a little trivia by my boy, CSPN.
You know, I bring it to you every week. I do my thing. I do my extensive research throughout the week. And, you know, I kind of find something that kind of fits the mood for the week. Obviously, we had a lot of debuts, a lot of debut quarterbacks in week one, a lot of debut receivers, a lot of rookie receivers who had some pretty good numbers. So, you know, with that said, that's what this question is about. And hey, before I get to it, what a doozy of a week. I mean, we started Thursday.
Did you just say doozy?
What a doozy of a week. Thursday night, we got a great game. And then, it's catched up with a great Monday night.
40-year-old white male?
Bro, you know, I have to, kind of. Look, this is European white society, okay?
I was like, do your wife start using that word? So you just adopted it in your lexicon?
I say sorry all the time, too. Sorry. It's
yeah, but that's only because
that's our buddy.
You have a friend named Sorry.
No, it's because that's how Canadians say sorry.
Man, sorry would have a tough time going to Canada.
Sorry.
Why has everybody got my name in their mouth?
All right. But yeah, man, we got a doozy Thursday. We got a doozy Monday night to cap off the week. So, you know, it's awesome. But without further ado, in the last decade, who has the most receiving yards in a game by a rookie wide receiver? In the last decade, who has the most receiving yards in a game by a rookie wide receiver? Nate, I'm going to go with you first because I respect you a little more and you kind of, stick to the confines of the rules during the 5-2 Sports Podcast trivia.
Welcome to 5-2 Trivia.
Right answers.
And we'll go with the other guy last.
I'm the leader in the clubhouse.
Do you hear something? I don't hear anything.
Let Woody go first.
Okay. All right.
I need to think.
In the last decade, keep those hands up while you're thinking, son. In the last decade, who has the most receiving yards in a game by a rookie wide receiver? And other guy, Woody. Got a guess for me? One guess.
Last decade. I'm just going to give you one this week.
We greatly appreciate that.
I'm trying. That's why I'm thinking real hard. Because normally I get flooded with a couple answers.
Yeah, and you give us all of them.
It's true. But I usually get one right.
Yeah. Man, I think the name on the tip of your tongue is a really good guess. I don't think you guys will get this one right.
But yeah, well, I'm going to say it's Justin Jefferson just because I can't think of it, who else it would be. And I know it's wrong because I've heard someone say this before.
See, there you go, politics, and gave us one answer. But he tells the people that he knows it's wrong.
In my head, I just have a feeling it's wrong coming out. Justin Jefferson.
If I asked the question like, well, most receiving yards in a season by a rookie, you'd be right.
Yeah.
But I'll ask it one more time, Nathan, and I'm coming to you. In the last decade, who has the most receiving yards in a game by a rookie wide receiver?
I'm going to say Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool. That's a good guess because he did have
He had a big game last year, yeah.
Unfortunately, both of you guys are wrong. Chase Claypool was a really good guess. I don't think he's really anywhere up there, but that's a good guess. The answer is Jacksonville Jaguar wide receiver Justin Blackmon, or former Jacksonville Jaguar
receiver. That's right. He had a 200-yard game, didn't he?
Versus the Houston Texans. It was November 18th, 2012. He had 7 catches, 236 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then, obviously, I had to, you know, further my research. Next up on the list will be Mike Evans in 2014. He had 7 catches for 209 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I remember that game. I remember. That game was wild. Justin Blackmon, man, just one of the most talented wide receivers. That just what if
things went all the way because he couldn't stay clean.
Was that it?
Substance abuse issues. Substance abuse, alcohol.
Wait, who was it?
He was whooping on cops.
Justin Blackmon, former Oklahoma State receiver.
Stud.
Was a good one, yeah.
Stud. He was out the league in 1.5 years.
Yeah.
Never made it back.
Jerry Rice back in 85 had had a game where he had 10 catches for 241 yards and a touchdown in his rookie season. So, they knew he was going to be super great, super early.
All right, y'all, let's dive right into it. We got the Eagles and Falcons.
Well, I'm about to dive in.
Eagles and Falcons. This game... You know, I feel like we build up the Falcons every year because we like the talent and everything. And Nate, you know, you made that bold prediction last week. Tell us if you're worried. But
I'm gonna owe you $20 at the end of the season.
Yeah, I had to make that bet.
It might enough for you to take, bro. Woody, I might even owe you. Looking at the Falcons last week, I'll keep this short and sweet. Looking at the Falcons and how they played last week, I might owe you $20 week 8 of the NFL season. The Falcons looked so anemic.
Yeah, man.
So, they could not move the ball. They couldn't move the chains. Matt Ryan didn't look great. Matt Ryan didn't look terrible, right? But they just could not move the ball. And CJ and Woody and Brandon, you all said it, if you cannot move the ball on the ground, you will not have a great passing attack.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Look, Atlanta is a very bad team. And I say Atlanta is a very bad team because Philly is a bad team. Philly's not a good team. I watched a lot of this game. To Nate's point, Matt Ryan didn't look atrocious, but he didn't look good either. They looked anemic on offense. They didn't have an identity. Kyle Pitts wasn't used. It wasn't the same Falcons offense that we saw in the past where they stretched the field. They, attacked the middle, attacked the outside of the defense, a lot of deep routes, a lot of big plays. We didn't see any of that. I was a little disappointed. But I will say this. I kind of disagree with Nate from this standpoint. I did feel like the Falcons could run the ball. But they never stuck with running the ball. Even when the game was close in the first half, Cordell Patterson, former receiver, backup halfback for the Falcons, he ripped off some very nice runs. And we're going to get into it later, but I saw a lot of just incompetence from coaches in week 1. You know, everyone wants to win the shootout. And sometimes you got to just, quote unquote, read a room, right? Sometimes you got to win 17-10. And I saw coaches not really put their teams in position to do so. And, you know, the Falcons, Arthur Smith, they're one of them.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely didn't stretch the field. Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley were running a lot of underneath routes for absolutely no reason.
Right.
I'm like why? They're big, strong guys that can outbody the corners that they're up against. Why not take a shot with Matt Ryan's arm? But to your point, you're right, CJ. When they did choose to run the ball, they were effective. And I will take back the statement I made about them not being able to run the ball. They just chose not to run the ball for some reason.
You know what's crazy? I'm over here. I'm not I'm gonna defend them, even though I was smashing last week, because I'm not gonna overreact here. This is the same Atlanta we.
This is overreaction Monday, Woody.
I know, I know, but this
we gotta overreact.
This is the same Atlanta we've come to know for the past 4 or 5 years. The Matt Ryan, he didn't get any preseason play. CJ, we talked about this yesterday.
He's got rust too.
He's got rust on the bones.
But that's not cool either.
It's not. But this was the first week. And Nate, I said this on a podcast last week. It's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Matty Ice. Because this man, or excuse me, other way around. Dr. Matty Ice, Mr. Hyde. Because this man, this is what he does. They have problems with protection 1 week. Things stutter. They go out of control. And next week, we might see him throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Who are they playing next week? Let's look this up.
I think it's a tough one. I remember
gamblers out there, for the foreseeable future, I recommend fading the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. Look, Nate said they were anemic, and they were. If you have play, it's not hard to get your playmakers the ball. I don't care where they are. Kyle Pitts is a chess piece. You can split them out wide. You can put them in line beside the tackle.
Oh, I take
throw
it back.
Throw them in the slot.
They're playing Tampa Bay.
Exactly. Tampa Bay, do not start anybody from the Falcons if you play fantasy football.
Oh, my God.
But no, like, you can get Kyle Pitts the ball in all different types of ways, and I didn't see any creativity, and I'm a little worried about that.
You saw Kyle Pitts almost had a nice, like, 20-yarder down the field on the sidelines early in the game, but you saw he hasn't adjusted to getting those 2 feet in because he dragged his last foot, only got the 1 foot in, and he just hasn't made that adjustment yet.
Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, young man. I don't want to spend too much time here, honestly. Like, Philly, Devontae Smith looked good for his first rookie year, first rookie start. Jalen Hurts surprised some people. I think his stat line's a little fluffed because there was a lot of bubble screens, a lot of short passes. Didn't have to take a lot of shots downfield. And the ones he did take, they were wide open.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Eagles, they're not a good team. They're going to finish last in the NFC East. And the Philly defense is bad, which is why I'm upset. The Falcons only put up 6 points, but I don't think that offense is 32 points good. As you said, it was a lot of easy stuff. Jalen Hurts, let's not take anything from him. He does bring a dynamic ability to the quarterback position, being able
his
to run.
His pocket presence looked better.
However,
he wasn't taking off as crazy.
Going against better defenses, they'll be able to eat a lot of that stuff up. I'm not a believer that Jalen Hurts can make all the throws on the field yet, and that's important to be a exceptional NFL quarterback.
One thing I'd like to point out, so far bust Jalen Reagor last week, we finally saw some life in his game, and we were reminded of his speed when he caught that bubble screen pass. Man, the way he zipped by all those defenders real quick for like a good 20-yard score, I just forgot how fast that man was.
I mean, if Jalen Reagor turns out to be what the Eagles wanted him to be, and they just picked up Devonta Smith, for all intents and purposes, has adjusted to the NFL, the speed of the game, quite well, based on my observations preseason and week one, the Eagles have a receiving core that is very, very good for the next 4 years.
I like it. Nate, I'm starting an all intents and purposes counter on you for the rest of the episode. Cordell Patterson, 7 carries, 54 yards. This is the last thing we're going to cover for this game. Is there a dream world where we finally get to see the Cordell Patterson experiment? Like a 20 carries from running back for one of the best open ball runners in the NFL?
You know, I thought about it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I don't think we've ever really seen anything like this before, right? He's pretty much been used as, you know, primarily a backup running back and a kick returner for the last, you know, 3-4 years now. So I would like to see him have some success back there running back. But who knows? But I'm here for it.
He's still one of the best kick returners of all time.
He is.
And one of the best open field runners, hands down.
He's big, physical, and he's fast.
Yep. All right, let's go on to our next game. And we're going to cover the Steelers and Bills. This game was a surprising outcome. Nate's darling, Josh Allen, what we all thought was coming is Patrick Mahomes' contender for the next few years for the MVP race, kind of sputtered a little bit here in the first one.
I mean, to defend Josh Allen, not that he played exceptional, But Josh Allen is not, I would not say that Josh Allen is the reason they lost that game. I think Josh Allen is arguably the reason they were still in that game and leading at halftime. They lost that game because of a single special teams mishap. Like from like they could have easily, had they gotten that punt off, come back and won that game. Buffalo's defense was obviously not what the Steelers is, but it was stout. It was looking very good.
Right. I mean, I didn't really see a lot of this game. I did go back. I watched the highlights, checking out the box score. Seemed like a defensive, you know, heavyweight fight.
Good defensive battle. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you this much, TJ Watt deserves every penny of that $80 million he just got paid.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Oh, yeah. That sack that he had where he stripped Josh Allen, that was nasty. It was a beefy sack, too. Like, boom, pop.
There was a couple of alarming things in this matchup. The first one is Pittsburgh, Big Ben, he promised, he's like, hey, look, we're going to be able to run the ball this year. And, well, as a team, they averaged 3.5 yards per carry. So that's what Chase Claypool, he had a big gain on a run play. So, I mean, Najee Harris, 16 carries, 45 yards. You got to do better there. Obviously, you're going to have to be able to run the ball, especially in the AFC North. And then on the other side, same thing with Buffalo. I mean, they look like they had some success running the ball.
Singletary, 11 carries, 72 yards.
I need more of it. I've been on record saying Josh Allen can't continue to have 40, 50 yards rushing, running around. He had 9 carries for 44 yards. And granted, that's part of his game, and he's athletic, but he's shortening his shelf life. And I don't want Josh Allen to have to carry us every week for us to win. That is not good complimentary football, and it's not going to work out for Buffalo in the long run.
No, that's real. That's real. I think the surprising of this game, Stephon Diggs, he couldn't really get off the ground in this game, 9 for 69 yards. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense looked really good, like really good. We've underestimated, like, yes, they lost Bud Dupree. They were still elite without him after he left. The returning presence of Devin Bush is really going to boost this defense for the season.
Yeah.
I agree.
Look, we need to be talking about Mike Tomlin here, right? Because
yeah, Flowers.
Pittsburgh is exactly, like, they're always competitive. Even when you kind of think that they're not really going to do it, or maybe they really don't have it, that defense is normally, outside of the years when Pittsburgh had the triplets that were going ham, that defense is always good, right? Like, we can always count on Mike Tomlin to have that defense put together.
Bro, the best year, like, this is how good a coach Mike Tomlin is. He almost took that team to the playoffs with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there you go. And they still won at least 8 games. He's never had a losing season. So, yeah.
Mike Tomlin, next to Bill Belichick, might be the best coach in the NFL. I'll say it.
Might be.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's an argument there for sure.
Let's also give some flowers due to Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, I feel like this man doesn't get props. For the, like, he is a top 3 safety in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
He's got such a nose for the ball. It's crazy.
Super smart player, super versatile.
He's a very, like, Minka Fitzpatrick is not flashy. He just does his job.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way, right? Jamal Adams, 2 first round picks.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick, 1 first round pick.
Well, let's be honest difference. Here. That's
the difference
because
between good franchises, right?
That's because Seattle's literally idiots. Yeah. Like the mismanagement of their cap, the mismanagement of that roster since they basically couldn't re-sign the Legion of Boom. Like, for all intents and purposes, you could look at you could look at what Seattle did then and just go, they got lucky.
No, it's true. Like, look at Seattle. They let KJ Wright walk in the offseason, right? He was making real plays for Las Vegas last night. Like, he made the stop on fourth down. He had a couple really clutch tackles, keeping people from getting in the second half open area of the field.
Hey, I have a question since this is a little off track a little bit, but it's about football. How do you guys feel about, like, the new jersey numbers and stuff? I thought I'd be hyped for it, like, but then when I watch the games, it just feels a little weird.
And it takes a little getting used to.
What reminded me of it is KJ Wright, linebacker, he's number 34. And so when I realized, like, at first I didn't know who it was, I'm like, oh, it's KJ Wright. Sweet, linebacker got a number in the 30s. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just odd.
I like it. It's just going to take some getting used to. That's all it is. I think it's going to boost jersey sales. I think it's better for player branding because certain numbers just match personality.
Right, for sure. But, you know, I'm traditional. I'm an old crotchety old man. So, you know.
Get out that rocking chair.
I thought I'd be excited for it. But after seeing all the jersey swaps and stuff, I'm like, I don't know.
Do you think the COVID vaccine would help Cole Beasley catch the ball better? Because he had some bad drops in big moments in that.
Yeah, game. I don't know. I give, like, even though this is overreaction early week, post week one, overreaction Tuesday. Like, I give every team one. Like, you get one, and then you're like, all right, pick up your bootstraps. Everyone has a bad game. Cole Beasley has a bad game. Josh Allen has a bad game. The Pinion has a bad game. Like, you got to pick it up.
Najee Harris. I was impressed by his workload for fantasy. But, man, that offensive line, like, they just get no push. But that'll get better as the season goes on. And offensive line is one of the few units that as you get more coercion, because they have a few new guys, as the season gets on, they're going to start playing better as one, right? So don't trade low on Najee Harris.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's going to get a ton of volume. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, they really want to run the ball. So, I mean, I think Pittsburgh at some point, I think they'll be able to run the ball. It's interesting to see, I'll say this and then we can move on. I know the Bills kind of had their issues inside of that defense last year. So, like, up the middle, just between the tackles, they struggled stopping the run, got subpar play from the defensive tackles and also from the middle linebackers. So they seemed to really slow the run down this past Sunday. But again, it was against the team where we saw last year was also not good at running the ball. So I'm interested to see how both those units do going forward.
I mean, also, that's what I was going to say, CJ, is Buffalo was terrible against the run and they didn't change anything. So is this really, like, my question is this a reflection of Najee Harris being good, the Steelers offensive line getting better, or is it just like, no, the Steelers are going to struggle against a good defensive line when they come up against them?
Exactly. Remains
also, I believe Najee Harris was the only running back in the league to be the only running back to carry the ball in the game. He was the only one. No one else got a carry from the running backs.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to the next game.
Old school.
Old school. And you don't see that anymore. But, you know, that's why everyone knew Pittsburgh's been in first-round pick on a running back. That guy's going to carry the ball.
Yep.
All right, let's go to this game. This game was really slow in the first quarter, and then it picked up fast. We have the Minnesota Vikings and the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow started off slow, ended up balling. Started looking great. After the first quarter, he just started dropping dimes out there to Ja'Marr Chase, who had no drops in that game. Looked great. Okay. Looked like a top lottery receiver that you pick over a generational tackle. And Joe Mixon toted the ball 30 times. Had four catches, ran for 127 yards and a touchdown. Things are looking up in Cincy.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. Things are trending in the right direction. You know, it was a little noise out of camp saying Joe Burrow didn't look that impressive early on, and he kind of silenced those critics by going 20 or 27 for 260 yards and two TDs. So, you know,
sometimes all you need is a couple weeks of rest.
No, for sure.
Like we saw with Dak Prescott, too.
And, I mean, he was probably knocking the rust off. He hadn't played for a while. And then, you know, there's a mental game behind it, too, when you just tore your ACL, you know, because you took a blow to the knee. You know, you need those. You got to plant and you got to follow through. So it can be a bit nerve-wracking. I totally understand it. But this offense, like I said, they're young. They're explosive. They're headed in the right direction.
Great song by Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Check it out if you hadn't. Headed in the right direction.
This is more so about Minnesota. I'm a little worried about Minnesota. You know, they didn't get the run game popping. That's kind of frightening because it seemed like last year they always got the run game popping.
Yeah, and how do you not get the run game popping with Dalvin Cook? Dalvin Cook, 20 carries. They gave him volume, but only 61 yards. I also think that Cincy's defense is better than we thought it was. Because the last five games last year, they started showing up. Like, that defense was real deal. They went out, they signed Trey Hendrickson. He looked actually decent. And I had my wonders if he's going to do anything. But he was out there making plays. Actually, was he out there making plays?
And look, Nate, I know you don't want to hear this. And we look at Kirk Cousins, we look at the box score, and we're like, hey, they threw for 350 yards, threw for two touchdowns, no picks. The stat line is legit. It's good. But they didn't win. This is the game Minnesota was supposed to win versus the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a game that your quarterback makes sure you go out there and win. And
Ogunjobi. Larry Ogunjobi sacked. That's right.
So Kirk played terrible. He underthrew, like early on, he was underthrowing Justin Jefferson quite a bit. Probably half of his incompletions were to Justin Jefferson on fairly wide open routes that Jefferson was running. I mean, there are no excuses. You're getting paid $30 million a year. Show up and win games. There are no excuses for Kirk this week. There is, like, Cincinnati Bengals are, unless the Cincinnati Bengals turn out to be an 10-11 win football team, this is a terrible loss.
Yeah, for sure. It's bad. And look, I know I come after Kirk. I know I come after Kirk a lot, Nate. I think Kirk is a good quarterback. I think he's solid. I just don't think he has that whatever that is.
Well, and I say this hesitantly because it shows the what I'm thinking about Kirk, but he really hasn't had that, like, X factor since his last year in Washington when he was literally playing for his career. Like, right now, I'm looking at a quarterback who I believe could be good, borderline great, and he is playing with a tentativeness that doesn't fit what he should be doing. Like, your job is to take care of the football, make completions, move the chains when you've got a running back like Dalvin Cook behind you. And I get that. And take shots when they're there. But when you take those shots, you got to make sure you complete them, right? So, gunslinger Kirk from Washington, I'd much rather have back than watching this Kirk that's, I don't know. There's just tentativeness about him that doesn't sit well with me. So, see, Kirk played poorly.
I feel like Kirk Cousins is a gunslinger. He's a gunslinger when he's at his best. But the problem is a lot of times we don't get gunslinger Kirk until they're down or until someone yells
just
at him.
Reactionary.
I mean,
if he was gunslinger Kirk 1-4, then I think our conversation about him would be different. But the fact is that he becomes gunslinger Kirk when they're down in the fourth or when someone yells at him in the fourth for playing timid, and then he kind of comes alive.
I don't know. We'll see. It's Overreaction Tuesday, so Kirk played like absolute garbage. So we'll see. We'll see how he and the Vikings respond. Like, at some point, he has to be the leader of that team. Otherwise, he's not going to be there anymore. So I hope that he is able to step up, be a leader of that team, and move forward. Because otherwise, it's over.
No, that's real. Adam Thielen. You're going to get, like, people want to say he was done, right? They're like, Adam Thielen's done.
He
was dropping heavily. He dropped more in fantasy drafts than I think any player I watched all year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in real life football, I don't think anyone thinks he's done. I mean, obviously he's on the wrong side of 30. We know the game is safer these days. Adam Thielen has never been an athletic freak out there. He's always been a technician. And, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, time is kind of on his side, right? I don't think he'll ever be, what, the 1,500-yard guy we saw, you know, a few years ago, what, three, four years ago, or however long it's been. But, you know, I think he can kind of stay right around 1,000 yards. And him and Kirk Cousins have a hell of a connection and chemistry in the red zone. So, you know, I think you could chalk him up for roughly 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns every year.
I mean, that's real. Yeah. I mean, Adam Thielen's, like, when he's healthy, he's fine. Like, the only issue that the last 2 years is his hamstring's been nagging him. So he stays healthy, he's going to be a top 10 receiver.
Justin Jefferson, a lot of people had concern about his AC joint in his shoulder. He looked fine, took some hits, shrugged him off, broke some nice tackles for some longer runs. This offense, I think we're going to see similar fantasy production out of everyone that we saw the year before. And I don't think it's going to be that. No one falling off, no one really new emerging. Tyler Conklin, for those who drafted Tyler Irving.
It's a football show, Smith, right? Jr. It's a football show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why are we talking about fantasy?
Irv Smith Jr.? Yeah. Is that just what you meant, Woody?
Irv Smith Jr., yeah, thank you. But, you know, it's just something to look at in the box score. I didn't think Tyler Conklin was going to be anything good.
He still might not be.
He did all right. All right, let's look at 49ers and Lions. This was a weird game. So the 49ers shot this one up to, what was it, 41-13 or 33-13? And then all of a sudden, Lions just came roaring back. Like that, it was crazy. Jared Goff didn't look terrible. He didn't look great. He threw a bad interception, but he didn't look terrible. He threw for 3 touchdowns, 338 yards, threw about 60 attempts, almost, but 40 of them were completed almost. But the story of the game was probably the running backs. Young DeAndre Swift, he picked up 40 yards on the ground, but he also caught 8 balls, 68 yards and touchdown. Jamal Williams, 9 carries, 54 yards and touchdown. But he also caught 8 balls for 56 yards. Is this what we're going to see? We're going to see T.J. Hockenson and 2 running backs as leading wide receivers in Detroit?
And a lot of L's. A lot of L's. I mean, I watched a lot of this game. It was somewhat promising. Detroit, they fought hard. They didn't give up. They played one really good quarter of football. Obviously, the defense is terrible, which we knew that was going to be the case coming into the season. The offensive line is actually pretty good, so that could be their safe haven. Big rookie Penei Sewell started at left tackle. So obviously, during preseason, we saw him struggle at right tackle. Well, he started at left tackle in week one because my man Taylor Decker had surgery on his finger. But Penei Sewell actually held his own, and obviously he's going against one of the Boses. So that's a promising piece there. But like I said, the defense is terrible. You have nothing on the outside as far as receiver. They're going to lose a lot of games, and who knows? Maybe they can get their quarterback replacement, you know, next year with a top pick.
Jimmy G came out, looked efficient, threw for 300 yards, 17-25. We saw Kyle Shanahan kind of stick it to him a little bit after a long drive early, brought in the young Trey Lance, converted to a touchdown on his one throw. 3 carries, didn't show much on the ground, but we definitely see that the time is probably sooner rather than later.
That offense, they are who we thought they were, right? I mean, that offense is going to be really good. You got a great offensive line. You got weapons. You know, on the outside, you got multiple weapons in the backfield. You got Trey Lance just waiting on his turn. I'm kind of worried about that defense. And we've been used to seeing the last few years, The 49ers have a solid defense. Last year they dealt with some injury, but they were still competitive. I'm a bit alarmed that they gave up the yards and the points that they did versus a Lions offense, to be honest.
Yeah, I was refreshed by the reminder that Deebo Samuel's good at football. It had been like 2 years, right?
You know, the toe, the foot, the ankle, it's coming at some point.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
I don't wish that on anybody.
But I don't either.
You check the Carfax, all right? And then holler at me.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel's like a souped up Charger. You know,
he's too souped up. He's too souped up.
Yeah. His body can't handle the moves he'd be putting.
Not at all.
But 9 catches, 189 yards, and a touchdown. And like, man, he just looks like a running back after he catches the ball.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Surprisingly, we didn't see much of Brandon Ayuk. Did he leave the game early? Because he was supposed to play. He just didn't get any targets, no catches.
Kyle Shanahan just hates fantasy. I think he just tries to stick it to everybody who do plays fantasy, probably.
Yeah, probably. But it was just so weird. Brandon Ayuk, he looked like a number one wide receiver last year in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and look, obviously it's week one. We're going to overreact, right? He may have Deebo stat line next week. So you never know. But, I mean, we all assume Brandon Ayuk is going to be a very important part of that offense.
Yeah. Elijah Mitchell. So let's talk about the running back situation in San Fran. Trey Sermon. Hyped up all the offseason. Everyone, he's flying up fantasy draft boards. Everyone's hyping up. They think he's the new starter. Yeah. And, you know, us on this podcast, we love Raheem Mostert. We see the talent. Man can run the ball behind that line. He's a very good fit. First two carries of the game, man, we looked right. 10 carries a pop. And then, bam, out for 8 weeks. The man just can't stay healthy. You had a quote this morning. What you said, God.
God created Raheem Mostert to play special teams. Nothing more, nothing less. God said, here, Raheem, here's this blazing speed to beat everybody down the field and make a tackle. And then Raheem Mostert becomes the RB1, and God's like, son, I didn't give you the ligaments and stuff. You ain't tell me you was going to do this. And I don't know, man. It's unfortunate for Mostert because, yeah, I mean, he's – as you said, he's built for that offense.
He's the
best guy for that offense.
Was Elijah Mitchell. What, fifth round pick Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, late round pick, fifth or sixth. He was down the boards. And then he was active. Trey Sermon, as you said, was inactive.
He was in street clothes inactive.
So. Yeah, so it caught us all by.
So till next week, obviously, we'll see Trey Sermon and suited up. They need him now. Most out 8 weeks. What do we see Mitchell toting the rock? Number one, obviously, right? After a game like this?
It's definitely a committee. I got to go back and I got to look at the tape real hard. I want to see Elijah Mitchell. I want to see what kind of player he is, you know? So I really want to go back and watch all of his carries. But I would expect
38 yards of it came on one play. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, let's not overhype him.
But, I mean, look, he's a fifth or a sixth round pick for a reason. Trey Sermon was drafted ahead of him for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got Jeff Wilson that's going to be coming off
traded
the pup list up
to draft
week 6.
Trey Sermon. Yeah, so. Exactly. And Jeff Wilson is a Kyle Shanahan favorite. He loves the versatility of that man.
So it's a little muddy in the backfield. But that's a good problem to have, to be able to have guys that they don't have the same problem that the Ravens are having, you know.
So Barrett went out with injury here, the cornerback. Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what's, like, the moment he went out, that's when the comeback started, right?
Well, look, Jason Barrett, he's a good player. He hasn't been able to stay healthy the last 3 or 4 years. He blew an ACL a couple years ago. The year before that, he blew an Achilles. Last year was really his only healthy year. And when he's on the field, he produces. He's a good cover corner, but... it's a significant loss, and it makes you wonder, like, I don't know what the relationship is right now between the Niners and Sherman. I don't know if there's a rift there, but they might be giving Richard Sherman a call soon. Who knows?
Yeah, I hope Richard gets another chance. He deserves it.
Don't feel bad for Richard.
I mean, it's sad what happened, but, like, he's still an amazing player and a very articulate man. And then the Lions, they made a valiant comeback in this game. Like, we mentioned Jared Goff, mentioned Jamal Williams, we mentioned DeAndre Swift. But I like, it wouldn't be anything less. Nate, tell me about your team here. Like, did you like what you see? Penei Sewell, he held Nick Bosa to one sack. He looked like he was doing real good in his first
game. I like the grit that they played with. I hate to say it, but if you're a Lions fan and you're expecting a win yesterday, you're crazy. You're absolutely absurdly, like, you go check yourself into an insane asylum. Yeah. What I wanted to see was a type of football that can win consistently, and I think I saw that. I saw them establish a run game. I won't say I saw a mistake-free quarterback play from Jared Goff, but Jared Goff played a solid game. I'm not going to take anything away from him and what he did. Yeah. Like that. See, no, CJ, I'm not hopeful.
No, you sound hopeful.
That's the Lions trap. I'm saying that there may be light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. That's not that bad.
See, Nate, I think the Lions played hard.
I like what Dan Campbell's built.
All got.
No, for sure. I like what Dan Campbell got going on. He has them playing hard. They didn't give up. As I was telling Woody, it's about the defense. The defense is bad, which we knew the defense was going to be atrocious coming into the year, right? Well, it is atrocious. And then, I mean, there is an identity on offense. So it is something to be happy about. But guess what? Your defense is bad. Your offense is led by Jared Goff. It's going to be a lot of L's this season. Lots of L's. But there is some promise there in Detroit. There is some promise there.
There is. All right, let's move on to the next game. Moving right along. We're going to go to the Cardinals and the Steelers. Cardinals and the Titans. I'm sorry. Now, this game, this was a mollywhopping. I was surprised about this one. Kyler Murray? I mean, I don't think there's much to say about this one except Calvin had 5 sacks. Chandler Jones, excuse me, Calvin Jones.
Hey, you have a brain fart. I didn't have 5 sacks.
Yeah. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks. And that he destroyed Ryan Tannehill's life on Sunday.
Did you see what Taylor Lewan did, man? It was just the corniest thing, just to post something on Twitter. And it was like, hey, man, you really exposed me and kicked my butt today. Now I need to do better. Like, yeah, bro. Like, you don't have to acknowledge it. Like, we all saw. Millions and millions of people saw. And it's not even all of Taylor Lewan's fault. He's not even 12 months recovered from a torn ACL injury. So, look, Tennessee looked putrid. I was disappointed in an offense. You know, you lose Arthur Smith, the OC. He moves to Atlanta. Now you got Todd Downing. Todd Downing, he's worked his way up from the last 20 years, started as a low-level intern back in the early 2000s. I'm not too pleased with his play calling. Didn't see a lot. Tennessee didn't look ready. You thought Arizona coming into the season, Malcolm Butler retires. We all heard that was their weak spot. And then you roll out with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, and then you just look confused at what you wanted to do. The defense didn't play well. Mike Vrabel ripped into Julio Jones post-game, just talked about one of the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties he's got. That's not winning football. You can't do stuff like that. And I'm a little worried about Tennessee. I'll be honest. I'm a little worried about Tennessee.
I think you said something that I liked the other day, CJ, where I was like, oh, there are a lot of teams like that. Tennessee was a good team that was on the verge of doing something special that may have just missed the window because then that defense is just falling apart. Like, are we concerned about Derrick Henry? He had 2 carries on the 1-yard line, stuffed. Was he just feeling burnt out from last year? Now he's got an even longer season in front of him.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not worried yet. I don't want to say he's burnt out. Look, Derrick Henry, maybe we could check the numbers, but I'm not so certain he's always been a great goal line back. You know, there's a misconception that Derrick Henry is this certain type of runner.
He's a momentum guy. Once he picks up that momentum,
he's a momentum guy, and he's a he's like a Jamal Charles, but in a Derrick Henry body. You know,
yeah.
Like
that's real. That's a good comparison. He can move.
I mean, Derrick Henry needs a head of steam to really get going, which is why you see him once he gets broken into the secondary. That's where he really makes his money, or on the outside runs.
Those stretch plays. Yep.
Exactly. I mean, I'm concerned that Tennessee just seems to be imploding. I mean, Taylor Wan's post doesn't really bother me one way or the other. CJ mentioned it. Like we saw him get blown up. Chandler Jones did some exposing of that entire offensive line.
Mainly Kevin Y. It made him have a press conference to himself.
But like I think, to the Arizona Cardinals' credit, I want to say that I'm less surprised by how poorly the Tennessee Titans played, and more surprised how well the Arizona Cardinals played.
The Cardinals played very well. Kyler Murray looked like he got smarter on his decision making. He didn't take off to run as much. He ran smartly, 5 carries, 20 yards, 1 touchdown. But man, I mean, we've been talking about him for years. Is this the year Christian Kirk finally puts it together? Like, he's more than just a speed downfield. He had the one deep pass.
I mean, look, pressure makes diamonds, and they drafted Rondale Moore this year.
Yeah,
he's
a similar player
to Christian Kirk. That's pressure. Christian Kirk knows he has to put up or shut up because his replacement is right there in the name Rondale Moore, and they love Rondale Moore there. So, I mean,
no.
You gotta put up, and he put up in week one. I was impressed with this Arizona defense. I mean, look, we know what the offense is gonna give us. We know they have weapons on offense. That defense was impressive. I said something on Wax a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I wasn't ready to anoint him yet. I was just merely stating that I think they have a chance to be good. I'm not ready to anoint him yet, like I said, but. He drafted Zaven Collins in the middle, big 6'4", 260-pound inside linebacker to help stuff the run. You get J.J. Watt in there as a 3-tech. You know, you got Chandler Jones coming off the edge. And again, Achilles heel was supposed to be the secondary outside of, obviously, Buda Baker. But, you know, they seem to be able to handle Julio Jones and A.J. Brown all right. So I'm interested to really look at this Arizona defense a lot closer over the next few weeks to see if they're real or not.
No, I agree with that. It's their team to watch for sure. In the toughest division in football, it's hard seeing them taking over a few of those teams. Someone's going to fall, though. If someone's going to get an injury or something, that's just how it's going to work. But right now, all four of those teams are looking great. So we're going to need a bigger sample size than theirs.
Look, I'm going to just say this, and you're not going to want to hear this, but in that division, if we're really gonna I guess just kind of break it down by quarterback, I mean, someone's gonna get hurt. My rule is base it off the division winners off quarterback, is like what's weighted the most, and then from there you peel back, you look at the run game, the O-line, the defense, whatever. Matt Stafford is the one quarterback in the NFC West that has the worst injury history. So
it's true, man. That's a bold one. You look great.
That's not true. Jimmy Garoppolo has the worst.
Okay. Yeah, Garoppolo. But man, well, you know, Jimmy, that's fair. You're 100% right.
Difference
Jimmy
is G there may be a out. Better person waiting in the wings. Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know if better is the word I would use, but budding.
I think he could trade for whatever reason.
No. So here's the thing. I think Trey Lance will be very good in Kyle Shanahan's system. Some of the preseason throws and reads that he was making, I wasn't huge fans of the way he was reading NFL defenses, especially that being the second and third string.
I feel that, but that's expected because the man only started 17 games.
Lower division.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to give him some room to just be raw, right? Like Patrick Mahomes said, he didn't know how to read the Mike Backer coming in, and he played at Texas Tech, high level, you know, what. A head coach that we thought had some sense, or
CJ, you know this as well as I do. The Big 12 doesn't play defense. Come on, you didn't have to read the man.
That's fair.
But moving on. But what you said, the crazy thing about your statement about like looking at the quarterback, who's got the best quarterback, who's got like injury history. You know who's the best quarterback right now in the AFC South? Tyrod Taylor.
Based off of week one.
We're going heading that way. So let's wait till we get to the Texas game to bring up Tyrod Taylor. The Seattle Seahawks, Indianapolis Colts, 28-16. I don't think we spent a lot of time here. This was actually a relatively uneventful game. Russell Wilson just did his thing. 18-23, 250, 4 touchdowns. Classic old Russ. And knocking up another girl by Ciara. 20 points to the City Boys.
Yeah, man. You know, the alarming thing for me in this game was the Colts defense. That's what they kind of hang their hat on. Carson Wentz looked pretty good. You know,
Chris Carson, he was bullying their defense.
Yeah, and you know, the Colts, they've had one of the better defenses the last 2 or 3 years. And then last year you had big old DeForest. And I don't know, it was not an effort that I was expecting against the week one Seattle squad. I mean, I know they're high power offense, but you know, you hang your hat on defense. I expected it to be a more competitive ball game.
That's true. Indianapolis, Carson Wentz debut looked fine. I think that he was shaking the rust off after being hurt all season, all during the offseason. Then he got COVID. 25-38, 251, 2 touchdowns, 102 rating. We saw him hit the backs a lot with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines leading the team in receptions and 6 apiece. Is this team really missing T.Y. Hilton already?
No. I don't know.
I disagree with that, CJ. I think T.Y. Hilton is a piece they are missing. Simply for the fact that I get it. T.Y. had a terrible, like,
like,
honestly, 80% of his games last season, absolute trash. Like,
he was hurt most of the year.
But the end of the season, yeah, you started to see glimpses of that old T.Y. Hilton. He was crisp routes. He looked spry. He was fast again. T's and P's T.Y. I hope he gets healthy soon because his team does miss him, in my opinion.
Indianapolis, I think, still heavily favored to win this division, especially after what we saw opening week. So I think this is a wait and see approach with them. If anything, I was just pleasantly surprised that Seattle's defense had taken a step back in the right direction.
Yeah, this division is it's
might be the new open. NFC East.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. With Tennessee looking like they did, and Jacksonville looks terrible, and Houston looked good, but we know they're terrible. So
yeah, you see, the issue is Houston looked good against Jacksonville.
Exactly.
For time purposes, we're not going to go too far into these next two games. We'll just glance over the Chargers, 20-16 over the Washington football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he might be out 6 to 8 weeks. Taylor Heineke
dislocated hip.
Looked decent when he came in. So
I mean, they paid him for a reason, right? Like they gave him a contract for a reason. They wanted to keep him there.
He went toe to toe with Tampa Tom.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
Show some gonads.
Yeah.
I'm a Heineke fan.
To be honest, I'm surprised at how poorly the Washington football team played, both on offense and defense.
I was really, really excited how well Los Angeles Chargers offensive line held up against Washington football team.
Yeah.
Because the Washington football team is no slouch. That's one of the best defenses in the NFL. And they went toe-to-toe with them. And they gave Herbert some time. Herbert still threw for 300 yards. That's good to see. Coming out only one touchdown. But, yo, he did it. And I don't know. I like the Chargers this year. They could be sneaky.
Did you see what Keenan Allen said? He told Chase Young, according to Bleacher Report. He said, I told Chase Young that if they were in man coverage, they were going home, and they were in man coverage. Bye-bye.
I like that. I like that a lot. Let's talk about, briefly, the Jets and the Panthers. Sammy Darnold came in, went 24 for 35, 279, touchdown. Did not look good in the first half. But I like the Sammy D in the second half. He made it happen, got the rushing touchdown. I think the Panthers might, like I said, they're sneaky for the wild card for me this year. Show potential. And I think the Jets are going to be better than what people thought, but they did lose their starting left tackle to injury. I don't know. How long is he going to be out? That's the best player on the team.
Who, the Jets? The Jets lost? Yeah,
Connor. Connor, what's his name?
McGovern?
It was McGovern.
It's Mekhi Becton.
Mekhi Becton, thank you.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah,
total difference. One 6'7", 350, and black as hell. And the other one is super pale white, about 6'3", 6'4".
Looks like some vanilla pudding.
Wait, yeah, this Sammy D, you know, I want to wait and see. I don't want to, you know, anoint him yet.
He look amazing. I think he got the job done, though.
He got the job done. Game he was supposed to win, and he went out and won. My man Zach Wilson looked a little nervous early on, but he did kind of settle. I don't know. I think these are two teams that won't make the playoffs this year. Carolina, young promising defense, and it's no excuses for Sammy D, to be honest with you. If this doesn't work this year, if he can't lead this Carolina team to the playoffs, then I don't think, you know, he's really fit to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, you know, honestly.
No, that's true. Shout out B. Lunn. He's been preaching Corey Davis all offseason, and Corey Davis went out and had himself a game one. Looked like he was belonged to be a number one.
Yeah. Corey Davis is a number one. I think Tennessee would have been, I don't want to say better off, but I don't think Julio ginormous get over. It was a ginormous upgrade over Corey Davis. And I think we're going to realize that this year.
100% agree. That's what I was just going to say. Corey Davis has longer upside than signing a 1 year Julio Jones for a single season.
Yeah. Like from here on out, I'd rather have Corey Davis for sure.
Correct. So what everyone wanted Corey Davis to be was Antonio Brown. That's why he was drafted fifth overall out of Western Michigan. Like everyone wanted Corey, similar size, similar stature, similar quickness. And it just took Corey Davis, three quarterbacks, and a coaching exchange to get there.
That's true. Now let's talk about the number one overall draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville Jaguars, 21, Houston Texans, 37. Tyrod Taylor, he was breaking ankles. Looked like vintage Mike Vick back then. I know you brought him up earlier, Nate. He's just been slept on for years. You know, he just hasn't gotten a fair break. The what-if NFL career of Tyrod Taylor, you know? What if he would have gotten a Greg Roman offense with the Ravens? You know what I mean? He could have ran it.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence, 28-51, 332 yards, 3 TDs, 3 interceptions. The offense was just all over the place, man. You got James Robinson, who was the first undrafted rookie to have 1,000 yards. Looked amazing last year. But then Urban Meyer has his old player, Carlos Hyde, leading the way at 9 carries, 44 yards.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it, too.
Right? Am I crazy here? I think he's just starting Carlos Hyde because that used to be his boy, right?
Yeah, man, Urban Meyer is so used to being able to recruit a 5-star kid and develop that 5-star kid and have better talent than his opponent 99% of the time. This is not the case. You cannot do the same stuff. You cannot throw the ball 50 times when your roster is significantly less talented than the rosters you're going to be playing. Slow the game down. Run the rock, okay? Give your team a chance. And the problem is, Urban Meyer isn't used to doing that. He's used to having a plus athlete at every position on offense and doing whatever he wants to do on offense. But that's not reality right now. Trevor Lawrence, rookie quarterback, run game is going to be his best friend. He needs to be turning around, handing that ball off to James Robinson 70% of the time.
That's real.
I'm with you there, CJ. Like, I can't even think of a time where Urban Meyer out-schemed or out-coached an opponent, even in college. I'm trying to think. Like, it might
be... He always has a better team.
It might be when they won the national championship with Cardale Jones. I think that's what I'm going with.
That's fair. But even still, you know, you're bringing in your backup quarterback who's still a four-star, you know, five-star recruit. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. But, like, that's how far I had to go back to back.
No, for sure. You
might be able to make an argument there. Hell yeah. But, I mean, like, he doesn't have a great record against some, like, top-level coaches inside of divisions that he's played in, like, other than Jim
Nate, Rock. Do you think Urban is one and done? Think he's in USC next year?
I do. No, so here's the thing. I don't think he's one and done in the NFL unless like they get rid of him. I think they're gonna let him sit it out 2-3 years.
I don't think he wants to.
So here's the if he that's what I was gonna say. If he wants to be in the NFL, if he actually wants to see like can he do this, then yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much. One of my favorite and only stats I want to look at this game, besides shout out Brandon Cooks, 5 carries, 132 yards. DJ Chark, 3 receptions, 12 targets. that is one. That's crazy. That's a crazy stat to
me. Yeah, I don't really get it. Urban Meyer, man, he's just I don't. They don't have identity, and then you look on the other side of the ball and you see Houston Texans and Tyrod Taylor, and they seem to have an identity. And look, we've seen Tyrod Taylor start for the Buffalo Bills and actually be
Sean a pretty good first year. Starter. That's what I was going to say. Anytime Tyrod's been given the keys to the kingdom, he succeeded.
Yeah, like he's a – like we got – it's some of these names out here. Like, I think I would rather have Tyrod Taylor than, like, Teddy Bridgewater. But I don't think that's consensus. And I feel like it should be. Tyrod Taylor, he's brought his teams back. He's played on terrible rosters, Buffalo Bills for 3 years, and still put up stats. He doesn't turn the ball over.
Yo, imagine what Tyrod Taylor would do with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
And Tyrod Taylor throws a great deep ball, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he throws a great deep ball. So, I mean,
Tyrod Taylor used to make Charles Clay look like a borderline Pro Bowler.
Yeah, and just so happened, Justin Herbert happened. All right, Justin Herbert's special. That's not Tyrod Taylor's fault.
Yeah, and not Tyrod Taylor's fault that the team couldn't figure out a way to tell him he was going to get benched. They stabbed him in the throat.
Right, it's crazy.
Yeah. Let's go on to Kansas City and Cleveland.
Juicy.
33-29, Kansas City over the Cleveland Browns. But I feel it was a moral victory for the Cleveland Browns. Even though they lost this game, they proved that they belong. They're up there. They almost beat Kansas City.
I mean,
last year in the playoffs, but it was without Patrick Mahomes. And they did it right here.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever think Kansas City was going to lose Sunday?
If we would have done pick-ems, I would pick the Browns to win.
Oh yeah, I never at any point, even when Cleveland was up 22-10, and they showed they could run all over Kansas City.
Well,
I never thought Kansas City was going to lose.
Here's why we never believe Kansas City. This is why Kansas City's never out of the game. Everyone remembers the playoff game, AFC. Divisional round. It was Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans. Houston Texans were up 28-0.
And there you go.
28-0. The Kansas City Chiefs came back and beat them. That is how you know the Kansas City Chiefs are never out of a game.
Yeah. But even before that, I feel like that just kind of solidified it, you know, for everybody. Certain teams, just when you watch them play, even when they're down, it's like, okay, at some point, when I watch the Kansas City Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
I feel the same way I do when I used to watch the old Golden State Warriors. And I'd just be like, well, once that third quarter run around, because back in the day, Woody, you're a basketball fan. You know, third quarter run, come around, old Golden State Warriors with Steph and Clay and KD, they turn it on in the third quarter, and that was it. And that's how I feel about Kansas City. I feel like Kansas City, just when they need to turn it on, and that's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing you can do it. It's a curse that you always afford yourself to have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes it can backfire on you. You can face a really great defense, And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's turn it on. Wait, what?
Super Bowl. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was probably the one time where it was like, it don't look like they're coming back from this one. But any other time I watched Kansas City play. I kept
waiting for it. It was the only time I've ever watched like a blowout. And I'm like, okay, they're going to turn it on, right? It's crazy.
I was the only one.
Yeah, you were. Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is the best running back in the NFL. He's the best runner. He's the best runner. They don't give him enough carries where he's like the best open running field. Back. Open field, I'm taking nobody. Like Nick Chubb is the smoothest runner in the NFL.
I agree. I think from the would you say, Nate?
I said he's got incredible breakaway speed. Like he just runs away from defenders.
You know, I think from the time Nick Chubb gets the ball in his hands, from the time he takes the handoff up until wherever he stopped at, he's the smoothest. It's easy to him. He has great vision. He has a great burst. It's almost effortless. Like when you see Kareem Hunt come in and run as a complimentary piece, you say, okay, he runs hard. He runs aggressive. He runs angry. And then when you see Nick Chubb, it just almost looks like it's just a natural talent. And he always knows what to do. He always knows, you know, where to cut. He gets through the hole. It might be an easy step for him. And the next thing you know, he's off to the races.
Bro,
it looks so effortless.
You want to know the hardest I've ever seen Nick Chubb run? Is when he was running towards the end zone in that game against the Steelers, I think, last year. And then he remembered in the huddle, he's like about to run in the end zone. And then he like has to like lean back and backpedal and try to run out of bounds. That's the hardest I've ever seen him work while running. Was trying to stop.
Hell yeah.
In the classic story on Kansas City's side of the ball, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, good. That's it.
Yeah, they're unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, dude. Did you like Patrick Mahomes get up to the podium and says, hey, you know that meme?
Yeah.
Of me just throwing the rock. Mm-hmm. That meme where it's like Tyreek's down there somewhere. And he's like, sometimes, you know, it's just true.
It be like that sometimes. Yeah.
11 catches, 197 yards. They're just unstoppable.
But look,
unbelievable.
Two things. The defense is still bad. It's always bad at the beginning of the season. By the end of the season, it's like average, right?
Yep.
Defense is bad. And we know they invested a lot in their offensive line, trading for Orlando Brown. You drafted Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith at center and guard. Kyle Long comes out of retirement. And granted, they're dealing with some injury to that offensive line. But Clyde Helaire had an underwhelming day. And quite frankly, look, kind of the game script, you know, they weren't really able to lean on the run. But I am hoping to see Kansas City lean on the run a lot more this year than they did last year. So, you know, that kind of remains to be seen.
Nah, that's true. We'll see. There are going to be games where they get tested this year for sure just because of their defense. So I think we're all kind of waiting to see what they look like when it comes to that. Let's go on to our next game. Moving right along. We have the Dolphins and Patriots. Mac Jones. As the game went on, it looked more and more impressive how he could command an offense, honestly. They were going five wide receiver sets, empty backfield. And the beauty of Josh McDaniels, like the genius of his play calling, like he set it up to where you put that fifth wide receiver in motion, like a running back swing outside every time. So anytime he felt pressure, he always had that running back swing to the outside with four wide receiver stack. And it was great. Like, it's just, that's how you set up a rookie to succeed. Doesn't have the strongest arm. Started taking more and more shots downfield as the game went on. That costly Damian Harris fumble. You know, it happens. But Damian Harris looked great as well. 23 carries, 100 yards. I don't know if he's a 25 carry guy, though. That's what we see, what I saw from this game.
Yeah.
You know what is makes me a little bit of a bummer for me. Ramondre Stevenson is fumble. I don't know if he's going to see the rock for a couple games.
Oh, yeah. You know how Bill is.
Yeah.
One carry, one fumble.
Exactly. I saw that. I watched that happen, and I was like, oh,
man. Brought in Brandon Bolden. Yo, Brandon Bolden's had, like, the longest career of one-year deals I think we've ever seen.
Hey, look, it pays to, even if you go into the NFL as a running back, If you learn how to tackle, man, you might be in this league for a decade because he's a special teamer.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's kind of wild.
But, and Bill loves the dudes that'll go both ways. Remember Larry Izzo? Times. Yeah. Larry Izzo, he was a linebacker that was like all pro on special teams, but he would get play during the games too. Where? Okay, Jalen Waddle looked great last night on Sunday. Four catches, 61 yards. Like, you saw the potential. If he can stay healthy, man. Like, you know, CJ, you've been preaching it since before the draft. Kid's real deal. Tyreek Hill speed.
He is. He has the ceiling to be a Tyreek Hill. Obviously, he's implemented into the game plan. They scheme some things for him, which is good. It's just about durability. I'm a little worried about his durability. He got hurt his last year at Alabama. It wasn't his first time being hurt while at Alabama. And then, you know, whenever he got hurt this preseason, whenever he goes down, you kind of hold your breath a little bit. So he's a smaller guy. But as long as he can stay durable, I think he's a future All-Pro.
One thing about Tua before we leave. Tua looked okay. He looked fine, but I heard a very interesting soundbite from the Patriots cornerback. Who's their second cornerback?
J.C. Jackson.
Thank you, J.C. Jackson. And he said, well, the thing we knew about Tua was if his first read isn't open, he's chucking it up. So now he's going deep. But they knew from, like, joint practices, if he doesn't have that first read, he's going deep.
Well, you weren't open, so I said, screw it.
Yeah. He's man. What? Makes you understand why they keep getting in this Deshaun Watson dance. Like, I really think they regret that pick. But they got the dub, so here we go. Let's keep it moving, though. The most surprising game of the day, by far. Jameis Winston goes out in his starting debut for the New Orleans Saints. Ooh. And he goes 14 for 20, only 148 yards. Not impressive, right? 5 touchdown passes.
And had command of the offense the entire game.
I mean, Woody, it was. This is the week one overreaction. You were right. Famous Jameis is back.
Famous Jameis. I'm telling you, this was Freaky Friday too.
We gotta give him another nickname though. We might have to Aaron Famous Jameis.
He's King Crab Legs now.
Of 30 touchdowns and 30 picks.
Oh, that's true.
he's King Crab now. He's
King. Oh my gosh. Oh man. Let's not. Jameis played a great game. It was like Aaron Rodgers and Jameis Winston switched bodies.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jameis Winston was Aaron Rodgers for the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers was Jameis Winston.
CJ, get your Aaron Rodgers trashing out of the way because it's well deserved at this point.
No. When we jumped on this game, at first I was gonna say, "Ooh, I can't wait." But then, you know, I thought of a different, you know, tone and take. I wasn't gonna say anything. I was gonna let you do the bashing because I mean, it's well deserved. If you don't get everything in there that you really need to get in there, or I feel like you don't need to get in there, then I'll just take it from there. But
this is what happens. When you're a distraction in camp, and everything's about you, and they want to try to make a game plan. This is what happens. But this is real.
Yeah.
The Packers, I just don't think they were ready for this game, and they got a real deal. Matt LaFleur got a real deal coaching lesson from one of the greatest offensive minds of all time.
Took them all back.
Sean Payton had 14, 15 play drives schemed up. Just kept the ball the whole time. Aaron Rodgers, they knew he was going back, so they just send the house at him. And they do have good man corners with Marcus Williams playing that deep center field position. He had a nice deep interception in this game. Like, the pass was just absolutely terrible.
Slowly. Yeah, Sean Payton was slowly taking Green Bay's soul.
It was like an anaconda, just getting tighter as the game went on.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing to see from Green Bay, from Aaron Rodgers. And that's kind of one of the things that Matt LaFleur, who's a young coach, kind of has to learn. Schematically, what they like to do was taken out of the game, right? So
yeah.
two things you have to do. They went down pretty early. It was 17-3 for a while. You either have to be stubborn and just say, hey, we're going to stick to our game plan and what we like to do. We're going to continue to run it and run it and run it to set up the play action. Or you could, I don't know, just have some balls and be good at game planning and X and O's and adjustments and let Aaron Rodgers go out there and do his thing. And it appears to me that if Green Bay can't do what they want to do, that the ship sinks. And that's really what it felt like. And then Aaron Rodgers kind of, Matt LaFleur said post-game, he said, you know, it was really embarrassing. Aaron Rodgers came up post-game after Matt LaFleur said that and disagreed with Matt LaFleur. You can't do stuff like that when you're the leader of your locker room. And I feel like there's some dissension there between, you know, coaches, front office, and the players. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers, instead of really being the leader of a team, he's like the union leader. Because now Davante Adams upset. You know, his contract negotiations didn't go the way they wanted him to go. Then you got other guys on the team that's putting up and sharing posts, trying to get other free agents to sign with the team that are old and washed. You know what I'm saying? It's wild to me, man. It's wild. Look, Aaron Rodgers is super talented. I'm not a fan though. I am not a fan. I don't like the way he carries things. I don't like the way he seems to really make things about him. His body language is terrible on the sideline.
Yeah.
During the game, you know when I was watching this game,
I think he bounces back hard next week.
Hard. It's a lot of Jay Cutler to Aaron Rodgers. He just happens to have a ring and be supremely far more talented. But it's some Jay Cutler in him, man.
They kind of look like each other.
It really disturbs me. It gets under my skin. And I know Aaron Rodgers is your boy, but it's put up or shut up, bro. You know, you can't.
Yeah, when you come in like that, you better be ready to back it up.
Yeah. And I don't want to hear shit about a wide receiver, too.
I mean, they still need a wide receiver too, but that had nothing to do with Sunday. That's for sure.
Not at all. Especially when you hand the ball to Aaron Jones 9 times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Broncos and Giants. You want an overreaction? I got one for you.
Done. I want to hear this.
I'm out. Done. Ship them out. Cut them.
But
I'm done.
But why?
Are you talking about? Wait,
Danny Dimes. Talking about Danny Dimes.
Wait, before we move on, because I did want to throw this out there. Aaron Rodgers is currently the fourth best quarterback in that division.
That's not true.
Stop. Look at the stat line.
That's a hell of an overreaction.
I get
what you're trying to say. That's yeah, a hell of an overreaction for week one.
It's over. Hey, see. Hey,
it's
hey,
overreaction. CJ. I know. It's
overreaction Tuesday.
Okay. I get it. For 1 week this season, he will be the worst quarterback in that division. You want to talk about bad quarterbacks?
Best.
Daniel Dimes. Daniel Jones. He's done. As a fan, I'm out. I don't believe. I'm not a believer. Because he was pretty much 50% on his pass attempts. He throws ducks after he throws a dime.
You just sound like a scarred girlfriend. He pretty much cheated. Did he cheat or not? What you mean he pretty much? 22
of 37 is you hate disgusting.
Hey, Woody, I need you to let's pump the brakes. And here's why you're going to pump the brakes.
No, I'm not.
Here's why you need to pump the brakes. All right. One, Denver may have the first or second best defense in the league right now.
This is true. I've said that before the season started.
That secondary is great. Bradley Chubb, Von Miller back is incredible. Nasty. They're getting pressures. Like, I don't want to be an opposing offensive player when against that defense. That defense is nasty. Two, it's week one. And I know this is coming from the voice of reason that just said Aaron Rodgers is the fourth best quarterback in that division. So, like, with a grain of salt.
Not making me feel better here, Nate.
Like, here's the thing. Give them time to build chemistry. Number one, Kenny Galladay hurt. So the big offseason, one of the big offseason acquisitions.
No, he had four catches.
Again, Kenny Galladay's hurt. He had four catches. So, like, you just got to keep in mind that they're still learning and growing as an offense. Like, let's hope that things progress and get better. But also, bro, Saquon Barkley did not look great.
No, he didn't. But yeah, we all, I already thought he was being rushed back anyways. Yeah. Like, he looked like somebody coming back from injury. I don't blame Saquon. I'm over it, man. And then when he fumbled again on a run, I swear, man, I don't even own a gun. Makes me want to buy one.
I wish I could say something to make you feel better, to be honest with you. I would really wish I could.
But, I mean, at least he didn't trip over his own feet this time.
Yeah. I mean, Denver does have a really good defense. I think there's reason to be hopeful. I trust Jason Garrett in that offense. We saw the offense and the offensive line and the run game make improvements towards the end of last year as compared to week one back in 2020. The offensive line was terrible. The offense was terrible. So, I mean, hey, maybe there's some hope there. I think the Giants missed the playoffs and finished third in the NFC East, but, you know.
I think you're right. Like, that's where I'm at with my team, so it's fine. I'm out already.
See, Melvin, Woody, I'm gonna bring you back in because I think there's a chance that they go on a run later in the season.
I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right.
I mean, he has like seven teams to choose from, so it's not even like it's that big of a deal.
Now is not the time, yes. CJ.
He's got UCLA, the Chargers,
right?
The Rams.
I'll slap you if you say UCLA. I'll slap you if you say.
Oh yeah, because it ain't basketball season. He like UCLA.
Oh, I forgot.
I said, CJ, you're right. I forgot. Watching UCLA.
We shouldn't even be putting this on the air, man. It, like, he might have like a biker gang come out to his crib later on tonight, and you know, like, I heard you like UCLA, boy.
Oh, stop it! Just stop it! Y'all are nasty.
Your whole family went to USC. How could you be such a traitor?
I'm not a traitor. I bleed it. Celebrate the Hackney execution. I'm good.
It's like a nah, I can't say that on air.
No, you can't. You stop.
Oh my gosh.
No, I can't say.
Melvin Gordon looked good. 11 carries, 101 yards.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater looked like a competent quarterback that's not going to lose you games. Now they are going to miss Jerry Jeudy because Jerry Jeudy was dominating that game before he went out. He was putting on a show in the middle of the field.
It's a high ankle sprain. They're saying 4 to 6 weeks. If they're saying 4 to 6 weeks, then it's not that bad of a high ankle sprain. But generally, high ankle sprains are tricky injuries to come back from. Jimmy G had a high ankle sprain. Obviously, he's a quarterback. Came back too early. Hurt it. Missed even more time. Raheem Mostert also had a high ankle sprain last year for the Niners. So it's a tricky injury. It's something you don't want to rush back. You know, it could, quite frankly, it could be anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. And obviously, injuries like that, you want to err on the side of caution. So, you know, they're going to have him back, I'd say, at the latest, midway through the season. But you want to make sure he's 100% healthy before you get him back out there.
I'm guessing week 6 or 7.
Yeah, for sure. It's possible.
Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams. Rams 34, Bears 14. There's not a lot about to say about the Bears. Nagy. Just looked unprepared. Didn't. He's going to be the first coach to be fired.
He's awful.
David Montgomery, though, looked great. And that's pretty much where he ended for the Bears. There's not much else to say. 18 carries, 106 yards. You literally said out loud watching this game, why are they not running the ball with that other guy more? it made no sense.
It's ridiculous. It's, man, Matt Nagy is... he's just a terrible coach. He's not doing what he's supposed to be getting paid to do. And that is put your team in the best position to win games. It's not to try to play like Kansas City. It's not to bring that same offense from Kansas City to Chicago and try to win with it. It's about doing what's best for your team. And if that is handing the ball off to David Montgomery 30 times, this goes back to what I said earlier in the show. Head coaches are taking their teams out of the game early just because they'd rather win, you know, a proposed shootout than win a game 17-10. You know, when you go for it on back-to-back possessions in the first quarter and don't get it, don't even come close to getting it, that's a problem. And then you put pressure on your defense. And I know the defense gave up some big plays, but You guys hear me out on this. Wouldn't you think your defense, your great, no matter how good it is, would stress a little more, maybe would play a little more too aggressive trying to make plays when you know the offense isn't putting points on the board? How many times have we seen Eddie Jackson give up a deep post? It's rare. Eddie Jackson is one of the best safeties in the league. And then you got Khalil Mack. You got my man Hakeem Spencer in the middle. Like, this is a good defense. Run the ball 30 times and play complimentary football. Hand it to David Montgomery.
It's true. And, you know, Matt Nagy doesn't get that. That's why he's going to be the first coach.
He took him out of the game early. And he took him out of the game, and they were still in the game at halftime.
The Rams. Nate, how'd it feel watching Stafford? Like, was it like watching your girl dance with another dude? killing it like she took a pole dancing class.
Yep, that's exactly how it felt. I mean, to be honest, Matthew Stafford suffered, and I say that not lightly, suffered in Detroit for over a decade. So I wish him all – I hope he wins the Super Bowl, the Rams.
Yeah, like, makes one of them.
Straight honesty. Like, same thing I felt with when Tigers traded Verlander to the Astros. Hope you win a World Series, man. You suffered through it with in Detroit sports for long enough. Glad you got out.
Had to cheat though. The Los Angeles Rams. We're gonna touch a lot
banging
more
on them in the season. Trash can.
The Los Angeles Rams. We're gonna talk about them way more as the season goes on. For lack of time, we'll cover them more next week. Cooper Kupp looked great. The defense looked amazing, as always.
It's the best.
They let the run a little bit.
Yeah, you couldn't run on that defense last year. That's all I'm saying. So that might be Achilles' heel. I hope LA crashes and burns with Matt Stafford there. I do.
Why?
Because they look damn good, and they got Sean McVay, one of the smartest coaches there. Like, this is just me being competitive. Like, I hope shit just, you know, goes to dust. I mean
that. They're in his conference.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Matt Stafford, go to the AFC and be great, bro. Like, chill out.
All right. Let's talk the Los Angeles Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. That Monday Night Football game was crazy.
It was a doozy.
It was back and forth. We saw Gruden happy to angry to angry to angry to happy to angry to angry to angry to happy.
Like, to happy angry. To yeah. Happily angry and angrily happy.
Lamar Jackson, 12 carries, 86 yards, but the passing was lacking when it was needed.
The passing was lacking. You know what was funny about this game? Is, and it's weird because Brian Griese, who's a former NFL quarterback, I don't doubt he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Huh?
Had a couple good years.
Look, he played in the NFL, period, right? If you play in the NFL.
He played for the University of Michigan, so let's take everything he says with a grain of salt.
I mean, look,
daddy was a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he also won a national championship with Charles Woods. Look, so, I mean,
This is the thing. He kind of made it like Lamar Jackson. He saw all these improvements during the game of Lamar Jackson becoming a better passer. And I didn't see it. I saw some crossers that Lamar Jackson should have threw that he held on to. He threw late. I saw some crossers where he threw behind some guys. I saw Hollywood Brown make an incredible catch, to an easy pass that was behind him. I saw Lamar Jackson make some terrible reads. He seems like he struggles to throw the ball out in the flats, which is odd on a big third down play. He throws it to his running back when Mark Andrews, presumably his favorite target, ran a 7-yard curl route, was right there in front of him. So it's just alarming, some of the things I see, because we're expecting Lamar Jackson to become a better passer. His footwork is still lacking. And I don't want to hold that against him too much because, look, let's be honest. It's harder for him. The footwork is harder for him to learn than anyone else because he's such an athletic specimen. So I get some of that, but I'm not a believer in Lamar Jackson as a passer anymore. And his passing stats, when you look at the box score, weren't horrible. But I don't think he'll ever become a top-level passer in this league.
I'm starting to wonder that myself. I've been wondering it. I'm believing it more and more as days go by.
I think Lamar Jackson has a small window to prove all of his haters wrong. Unfortunately, he just can't stand in that pocket and make that downfield throw the way an elite quarterback needs to.
That being said,
if we look at the other side of the ball, Darren Waller is the monster.
The Walrus is taking up space. Another 10 receptions, 105 yards. Great game. And can I just say Derek Carr is the captain of unimpressive 400-yard passing games? the man throws for 400 yards and you're still like, did he have a good game?
I like Derek Carr.
Thank you, CJ. I like Derek Carr, too.
It is something that I don't quite like about him, and I can't, or about his game, and I can't really put my finger on it because, like, he has a cannon. He's super smart.
He's got a dopey face. He just looks dumb.
Maybe it's just.
I'm not going to go that far.
Maybe it's just too much like Mr. Nice Guy. Maybe it's that. But from the same token, I don't like Aaron Rodgers because I feel like I get too much Mr. Douchebag from him. So I feel like there's a happy medium.
Maybe that's it. But last night, some guys that shine, Bryan Edwards, the end of that drive. We were talking about it before. CJ, I know you mentioned T.O. comparisons, especially with the body. Like, if he gets a little stronger, the upper body, long arms.
Big arms, snagging them things out of the air, like physical. Like, not even the last few minutes of the ball game. In overtime, he looked like a man, a specimen, a T.O. He did. Snagging balls out of the air. We thought he had the walk-away touchdown, and, you know, the Raiders almost...
They were celebrating. The nightclub was lit in the end zone.
They almost ruined that, though. Like, who would have thought Carl Nassib would have came up with the strip sack? And look, Max Crosby is my dark horse defensive player of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's good.
I saw that stuff.
That white guy off the edge is no joke.
You know who I see in his game? I see JJ.
I was just going to say, I was like, JJ Watt.
Yeah. I saw some. I literally was thinking that last night. When just the power. It's there. The explosion. You're like, All right.
And
big
man.
He's
a good athlete, too. Yeah, man.
This is big for the Raiders. They needed a win like this to kick off the season if they were going to shake that losing with John. Like, does this say more for the Raiders this season, or are we a little worried about the Ravens, especially with all these injuries?
Bro.
Which, by the way, the injuries, though, we should talk about, like, Marcus Peters, that's going to be a big injury. But Tyson Williams, 9 carries, 65 yards, had a nice touchdown run, fell off in the second half. But, you know? Everyone was excited about Latavius Murray. Averaged 2.8 yards of carrying the touchdown. That sounds about Latavius, yeah.
I would be a little concerned about Baltimore. However, John Harbaugh, he always seems to right the ship. You still got Lamar Jackson, your starting quarterback there. You still got good leadership there. So I think they'll make the playoffs. It might be an uphill battle. Last week's episode, I actually said they were my selection to win a division. I'm probably off that a little bit now, but I think they'll be okay. History says that they're gonna be okay, and as for the Raiders, it was a good win, but you know, let's wait and see. Teams like Raiders, you got to use the wait and see approach.
On to Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a nice week too. Tonight, maybe not with that offense now. Cincinnati looked pretty good, but I'm looking forward to that game. That's two teams that are on the come up. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see who leaves.
Somebody's going 2-0, right?
Exactly.
It's true.
A team that didn't make the postseason is going to start the season 2-0 this year.
Yeah.
I think that Lamar's development this year is going to be stunted, unfortunately, because of the loss of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
I agree.
Like they won't be able to truly establish the run game without them. And that's unfortunate because I think he was on the rise.
You know what else is unfortunate is that A lot of the quarterbacks in Lamar's class, they've gotten their deals already, and Lamar has not. And Lamar is he's a good kid, but I think he's a little nonchalant about it. He doesn't have an agent. He's negotiating his own deal, but they put everything on the back burner, and he wants to focus on the season. You gotta get your money, young man.
Yeah, gotta get your money, especially when you're running quarterback.
Yep.
Gotta get that first contract. But guys, that's gonna wrap up our coverage. We went through the games. It was a long one, but it was the first week. It was the first week. We're gonna be a little bit more focused on week two. We're excited. Overreaction, week one. But y'all, thanks for tuning in. As always, check out Brandon's site, Football Scout 365, for all the nuggets. Get you some boosts on your fantasy, your bets. For everybody here at 512 Sports, we out. My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check. Man, I'm just glad that I'm allowed to tell my story. What's a testimony without a test?